الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, last week we were discussing a few things about speedy burial, performance of namaz on its time, getting the girls married when they are of marriageable age, when a suitable match is found, and a few other things were discussed. And then I read a few couplets from Hazrat Khwaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayhi's poetry, where he says, Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں. So what a change has come in our society, that there was a time when even ibadat, after a person made ibadat, then he was still concerned that I haven't done justice to this ibadat. I'm just giving you the meaning, an explanation. That after making ibadat, they were still concerned that our ibadat is not worthy of presentation before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Our mind wasn't there, our heart wasn't there, our soul wasn't there. Lifeless, soulless ibadat we made. It's not worthy of presentation before Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Therefore, we must make plenty of istighfar and tawbah on our ibadat. There was a time when people used to make plenty of istighfar and plenty of tawbah on the ibadat itself. Not only that, but they used to make plenty of istighfar on the istighfar itself. Plenty of istighfar on the istighfar itself, because our istighfar also is lifeless. When a person is making tawbah, at that time he must have no intention of returning to those sins again. When he's making tawbah, what kind of a tawbah is that, where at the time that he is making that tawbah, he still has got all planning, all plans are in place to go back to those sins after he comes out from the masjid or after he finishes his tawbah and istighfar. So that tawbah and istighfar needs more tawbah and istighfar, because it did not have the soul in it. This is the reason, brothers, we don't seem to find any change in the condition of our hearts. We find so much of outside changes, but not much of a change inside. Within our hearts, we don't find much of a change. One sister phoned this morning from another town or city, and she says, I'm reading so much, but still I don't know why I'm having so much of problem. Problem with my husband, problem with my children, problem in the house. So when a person complains of problems, then it is only natural that we feel pity, we sympathize with the person, and we try to console that person. However, we all know that what are the causes of these type of problems. So I just asked her one simple question, or in fact I tried to explain to her. I said, sometimes a person reads with yaqeen in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and Allah ta'ala gives the person immediately what the person is asking for. Sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala delays it, because Allah ta'ala dearly loves this person making, oh Allah, oh Allah, oh Allah. She loves it. That this sickness, this problem, this weakness, this difficulty brought this servant to my home. It made him make sajda. It made him raise his hands. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala delays it, because he knows that this person, the moment his problem is over, then his tawbah and istighfar and azkar and duas and everything will be over. And sometimes Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala forgives the person's sins. Those difficulties, those sicknesses, those illness, that illness, those problems, those disasters, they are a forgiveness of the person's sins. Or sometimes it's an elevation of the person's status and position. If they are the Ahlullah, they are the Nabis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are the Walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it's a raising of their position and status. We don't see it, but it's happening. Lots of things we don't see, but it's happening. So sometimes it's that. So you should not get depressed and you should not lose hope in Allah. But at the same time, question yourself that am I also not doing certain things? Or am I doing certain things which are bringing, which are preventing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy from descending? Am I engaged in some actions which is preventing the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala from descending in my home? Why is my life restless? Why are there so many people in the world whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given peace, contentment, satisfaction? Not only has He given them peace and satisfaction and contentment and tranquility and serenity and joy within their hearts, but even those people who sit around Him, they also seem to experience a kind of tranquility and peace and sukoon in their hearts. Why is it? Has Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala got some enmity with me that He doesn't want to give it to me? What enmity has Allah ta'ala got with some individual that doesn't want to give it to him? So probably you are doing a lot of reading, but you are not making an effort to give up some sins which are in your life. And I said one of the common sins of the day is television viewing, videos, movies, films, which we don't even consider to be sin anymore. Because of the environment that we live, it has become a norm. And if somebody has to speak out against this sin, then he is considered as orthodox, old-fashioned, living in the camel age, and all kinds of titles will be given to that person, that how can we ever do with entertainment of this nature? What will our lives become? They will become boring. So probably sometimes it is something of that nature. So she was honest enough and she said, Molna, that I must admit, that there's quite a bit of films and Indian films and whatever else, well, that I've become addicted to, and I acknowledge that that is in my life, and a few other things too. And as far as the husband is concerned, he too, there is no such thing as proper five-time namaz and lots of other weakness. So I said, then how do we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's rahmat to come? You will get sawab on the recitation of the Quran Sharif. You will get sawab on the recitation of those duas. Because that's a recitation of those duas. That's not seeking from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you were sincerely seeking, then you will make an effort, you will get the himmat and the courage and the strength to throw out those evils from your life. And then see how sukoon comes. It must come. Allah has promised. Allah ta'ala has promised in the Quran Sharif, and the Quran Sharif cannot be wrong. If a person doesn't believe in the Quran Sharif, then of course he hasn't got iman. Allah bi dhikrillah tatma'innul qulub. Allah Ta'ala says that it is only in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala that the hearts find satisfaction, sukoon. Otherwise you won't find it. And zikr I've explained many, many times, it's not just tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah. That you can read 1,000,000 times tasbih. You can make plenty of ishraq and tahajjud and chasht and awwabin. But taqwa will not come until we give up the sins in our lives. After that we are human beings, we will still make some sins. We will make some mistakes, we will make some errors, but then accidental sins, the person will make plenty of tawbah, he will become the beloved of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna Allah yuhibbut tawwabin. Allah ta'ala will make him his beloved if he committed some accidental sin and made plenty of tawbah over it. But he will not become persistent. So until you don't give up those sins, I told her that you cannot get peace and sukoon in the house. If we look at our homes these days, our carpets of interest, our homes themselves on interest, our cars on interest, our clothes purchased on budget accounts and interest, our watches on interest, our whole business is run on interest, our pots and pans in the homes on interest, the stove on which our wives cook on interest. And then we say, oh Allah, send down your mercy and send down your rahmat and give us peace and happiness and sukoon in our lives. How can it ever come? One brother said, then Molna, how can we purchase? It's sometimes very difficult. You're moving into another home, you've just married, and you require stove and fridge and these type of things. I said, simple. Tell the person that you are purchasing from that I don't have the cash. I will pay you over 24 months in equal installments. No fluctuations, no seesawing, no rising and falling. Just one fixed rate, payable over 24 months in equal installments. Now you give me one fixed price. So that person gives you one fixed price. If that item was of 1,000 rand, he says, well, it's going to cost you 1,500 rands. Pay me in over 15 months at 100 rands a month. Perfect. You say, I have purchased it from you at 1,500 rands, payable in equal installments of 100 rand for the 15 months. After that, if that person is a non-Muslim and he wants to write there, finance charge, this charge, that charge, whatever he wants to call it, he can call it interest, he can call it anything. But as far as Sharia is concerned, look at how flexible, how comfortable and easy life becomes. That transaction becomes halal. That is the major benefit of it. People say, what's the difference? The difference is this, that transaction now became halal. And when you will have halal in your home, then you'll get barakat in your home. Brothers, believe me that there are Ahlullah, friends of Allah, walis of Allah, who can smell from a distance haram in some items. That item can be ithar and perfume of musk. It can be mushk and amber, whatever it can be. It can be oud. But when there's haram, they get the smell of haram in there. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala hasn't kept barakat in haram. So until the person does not make an effort, but we don't say that if a person is, for example, working in some haram establishment and he's got half a dozen children, he's got rent, light, water to pay, then the person must give it up immediately. If he hasn't got his iman and yaqeen solid, if he gives it up same time, tomorrow if more difficulty comes on him, then he will give up his iman too. As I explained the other day in the Fajr Majlis, on one of the Sundays, that a person asked me, he says that I do a long distance traveling, and if I don't insure my vehicle, and if I don't insure the goods, then if something has to happen, then I will suffer a major loss. So what must I do? So I said, there is indeed some fatwas have been given in certain cases where there's a lot of hijacking and robberies and murders and killings for a limited amount of insurance within certain limits. There are details to it, of course, it's not just blanket ruling. However, for a person who's got iman, who's got yaqeen, and who's trying to do everything halal, then his zakat is his insurance. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the person who suffers a loss, it is mostly on account of the zakat of that wealth not being paid. That is the mafhum of that hadith. We don't say it's always the case. Sometimes Allah wants to give the person something better. He takes away a little and gives the person something better. The bala, the musibat was coming on the person's life, on his children. Allah Ta'ala saved his children, saved his life, and took it out on some cow, or took it out on some goods or stocks. So the person who's got good, strong iman and yaqeen, then we will tell that person that don't ever go near insurance because it is haram. We know it is haram. How many lives have been taken just because of insurance? Life policies were taken, their own children became their murderers because of the life insurance. There is no barakat in it. How can we justify it? A person took out an insurance policy of 10 million rand and then he pays one premium only. And after that, he is killed, murdered, or he kills himself, whatever it is, if he can escape the laws and he is not caught out, then his family claims the insurance. So he paid one premium of 1,000 rand or 5,000 rand or 10,000 rand, and now he's going to get 10 million rand. So what is that 10 million? From where did they get that 10 million? It's all interest money. We know that. There's no way of justifying it. So we will say that it is not jais, it is not permissible. For such a person who's got that iman, got that yaqeen, we will say, don't touch it. Have your yaqeen and faith and trust in Allah Ta'ala. Do things, every to please Allah Ta'ala, take out your zakat, give some sadaqat and charities, and Allah Ta'ala will protect that wealth. And then even if it goes, think that some khair in it, some goodness in it. But the person whose iman is shaky, the person who has just started coming to majlises and to programs and to dini environment, and he's just begun to listen about Quran and Hadith and Sunnah, then we will say that, please bhai, you rather take out insurance. Because if something happens, then you will say, I don't know why the hell I ever went and heard that kind of bayan, na'uzu billah. After listening to that bayan, I cancelled my insurance policy, and the first day I met up with the accident. And the first day my truck got hijacked. So na'uzu billah, that person will now say, if I had not followed Sharia, then I would have benefited. Now can you imagine? He may not say it in those clear words, but this is his inner feeling and belief now, that if only I did not follow Sharia, I would have benefited. If I didn't follow the Quran and Sunnah, I would have been benefiting. I would have been saved from loss. So that will be a loss of his iman then. So instead of the iman going away, it's better that he does something haram and remains on considering it as haram. The mashayikh, they are not people who just give everybody one fatwa. But it's for different people, different fatwas. It doesn't mean the shariat has changed, the fatwas have changed, the Quran has changed, the sunnah has changed. It is sometimes the lesser of the two evils. And that is according to the usul of the hadith. Now here the person's iman is at stake, we will say he'd rather keep his iman than losing his iman. So this is simple solution to the problem of those people who just have to buy these things. But I'm talking about those without necessity. Just purchasing on interest, purchasing on HP. So then when everything in our home is haram, and Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the giving and the taking of interest, how do we expect barakat in those homes? How do we expect peace and happiness in those homes? How do we expect parents and children, wives and husbands, brothers and sisters, to live as one united family? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala then creates that dissension and disunity and division. And then we can search for the solution all around the world in everything. We won't find it. We will have to get back, start getting rid of those evils from our lives. And believe me, I'm in the masjid. People cannot be lying when they are writing to me and telephoning me and telling me that when we got rid of evils from our life, we found peace and happiness and sukoon. I have mentioned many times, and I repeat, that if we love our children, then don't give them poison. People who love their children will not give them poison. Many little children are brought to me and they say, this child has got jinn, this child has got jadu, that Amil said he's got jadu. And he gave this and he gave that, and he charged me so much for it. And he said, I must come so many times again. But that child hasn't got any sign of jadu or any sign of jinn. It's something else that has gone wrong. And invariably it is the watching of the television. There is so much of scientific research that has been done, but most of it they keep it under the carpets because their business is at stake. Now and again something filters into the newspapers. Recently one brother gave me an article that it numbs the brains. And this was the article which states, video games and cartoons trigger epileptic fits among youngsters whose brains cannot cope with flickering images featuring contrast between black and white, say Italian scientists. Research by scientists at the University of Pisa follows an episode in 97 when 685 Japanese had seizures after they watched a TV cartoon which featured flashing lights. The study reported in the March issue of the United States British publication Nature Neuroscience says that between 0.5% to 0.8% of children aged between 4 and 14 suffer from photosensitive epilepsy, which is caused by an underlying dysfunction of the brain. They say the problem lies in a mechanism in the cortex that makes sense of scenes which vary in contrast, such as the difference between bright sunshine and fog, and it goes on. Now this is not the research of some mullah maulvi. Because anything that comes in this manner, we say, well, these are maulvis, they've got nothing else to talk about. They just want to take away all our enjoyment and pleasure. But they do not know that we want to give you enjoyment and pleasure. We want your biryani to taste like biryani. We want your children to be the coolness of your eyes. We want your homes to give you comfort and satisfaction. We want your wives to be your true life partners and give you peace and happiness whenever you enter the home and when you see them. This is what Shariat wants. Who wants to take away the pleasures of life? But when we are damaging the brains of our little children, we are damaging our own brains, and the brains get damaged, at least the maximum it will happen is the person will die. But we are talking about damaging even the morals. What kind of actions we are, what kind of conditions we are facing. So therefore he says, Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. I mentioned last week that one brother, he says that, this person says, how can Allah be displeased with me? Because I am giving him loan at a lesser interest rate than what the banks give. Nauzubillah. So I am assisting a Muslim brother. And assisting a Muslim brother is ibadat, it is sawab. So it is exactly what Hazrat Khaja Sahib is saying, ke kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. Looking at these conditions, the hearts of the Ahlullah, they are becoming kebabs. Day and night, the grief and the sorrow that they suffer inside. Dunya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Dunya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yehi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein. The necklace of the person, the necklace around his neck, is dunya now. Dunya gale ka haar hai. And dunya is not gold, dunya is not silver, dunya is not good home, dunya is not good car, dunya is not oil wells. That is not dunya. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, if he blesses somebody with plentiful of these things, he must make shukr and use it for the pleasure of Allah, use it for the comfort of his family, give charities, build masjids, madrasas, go for hajj, umrah. Then it is ni'mal mal. If it is good wealth which is in the hands of a good person, ni'mal mal as-salih, the mal must be salih, good. Lirrajul is salih. The person is good too and he's got good wealth, then it's a very good thing, it's a great ni'mat. So nobody is saying that is dunya. Dunya is when it turns our hearts away from Allah Ta'ala's remembrance. That it is taking us in all the wrong directions. That wealth is taking us in all the wrong directions. Taking us sometime to the cinema, sometime to the theater, sometime to the prostitute quarters, sometime to the casinos. If the person doesn't have wealth, can he go to all those places? So that is the dunya that he is talking about. That a person just wants to have dunya, irrespective of what Shariat says, what Quran says, what Hadith says, what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, what all the waaz and nasihats, what he listens to, that doesn't matter. As long as dunya comes, that is our major problem. The dunya is diverting. When it diverts our attention from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our wealth, our children, etc., then that is dunya. So he says, at present, the majority of the Muslims, if we look at our condition, the necklace is the dunya. Dunya has become a necklace. Deen nazar mein khar hai. As far as deen is concerned, it's a thorn in our eyes. In our sight at present, deen is like a thorn. Many youth, they do not say it. Many adults do not say it. Because they know what the consequences of bringing it on the tongue is. But within their hearts, in the deep recesses of their heart, they say we want liberty. We want no inhibition. We must not be restricted from any kind of evil entertainment and pleasure. We want freedom of action. Shariat is restricting us everywhere. Shariat is putting a boundary. We don't want to have any kind of boundary. We want to be like the animals that must be able to graze anywhere they wish to. So then Shariat and Islam is not in need of us. If that is our attitude towards Sharia, then Shariat is not in need of us. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of us for the protection and for the safeguard of His deen. Especially those people who Allah Ta'ala has blessed with iman, with yaqeen, with service to the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, with ibadat, with zikr, with tilawat, with tabligh, with ta'aleem, then we have to be more on guard. Sitting in the Haram Sharif, the thought came that that palace which is in front, which is a distraction there, instead of people looking at the Kaaba Sharif, you look at the palace. But then we take some lessons from there too. That there are guards there, guarding the gates of those palaces. And the guard at that gate knows very well that the king, he is not in need of me. If I displease him, then he will boot me out and he can afford to replace me with another million guards there. So the guard considers it a privilege and an honor that he has been blessed with, that he is standing at the gate of the king. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's deen, what are we going to guard the deen of Allah ta'ala? وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبَدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, Allah Ta'ala says, I will bring another nation in your place. And they will not be like you after that. They will not be like us, that we're finding namaz 5 times difficult, we're finding giving zakat difficult, we're finding staying away from the haram very difficult, staying away from adultery, fornication and all the evil very difficult. They will not be like us. You will see in their lives complete deen and complete Islam. The time is going to come when Imam Mahdi is going to come. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will change. Allah is not in need of us, but we are in need of Allah ta'ala. We are in need of the deen of Allah ta'ala. It is for our protection that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given us this beautiful way of life. That whisperings of shaitan will come. Don't worry about those whisperings of shaitan. Those evil thoughts that come into the heart and mind of people, sometimes they become very, very worried. If you get very worried, then get that booklet, Whisperings of Shaitan. I think we are out of copies. There's such a demand always, every time we print it's out. But the thing is, read that. It will solve your problem. Lots of people are still telephoning about the same problem. Those thoughts, let them come in the mind. As long as you don't bring it onto your tongue, it's nothing. If a person is fasting, and he opens the fridge 10 times, and he looks at the custard and the falooda and the all the things which has been prepared for the evening, and he feels like eating, but he doesn't eat and he closes the fridge. Does his fast break? Any mufti has given the fatwa, that why did he open the fridge 10 times? So the thought can keep coming. Don't purposely entertain those thoughts. That's all. The Sahaba Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajmeen, who could be greater than them? In the company of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they stayed. And they say such thoughts come in our mind, that if we have to bring it onto our tongue, we prefer that we turn to ash, burn to ash, than that we bring it on our tongues. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is sarihul iman, that is real iman now. That you are so worried, you don't want to bring it onto your tongues. It is not, you are not happy with those thoughts. You are uncomfortable with those thoughts. So when the evil thoughts come that I want to go out and commit adultery, I want to go to the cinema, I want to go to the theater, I want to do some haram, then at that time turn the attention away to something that is permissible. Engage in anything that is permissible. The mind cannot concentrate on 2 things at the same time. So change the direction of the thoughts. Don't welcome those thoughts. Don't lay out a tablecloth for them and say, you are an honorable guest in my heart. Throw those thoughts into the furnace of taqwa. The noor of taqwa will light up. Burn them up. Turn towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Amantu billahi wa rusuli wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah wa a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. And finish. After that you don't have to worry about it. So I'm not talking about those thoughts will come. I'm talking about those people who really feel that it's just because I am living in a family that is dini inclined, just because I'm wearing this kurta, if I was not wearing it, then at least I could have also been in the cinema queue. Just because I've got a beard now, I can't go and watch that dance, and I can't go and participate in some other haram. What people will think of me? Now that person who is desirous of evil, he doesn't want to give it up, or it's not just the thought that is coming. He's really desirous that if these impediments are removed from the way, if these barriers and obstacles are removed from the way, then I would have been free to indulge in those sins too. without going is getting the same sin. So brothers, the whole purpose of these majlises is that we have to some way make a start, take up the courage, the strength, and Allah Ta'ala is so loving, so caring, so compassionate, so merciful and so kind, that if only we knew Allah, then we would not have liked to distance ourselves from Him for a single second. He wants to give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. When He is saying that, seek from Me and say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. Oh my Rabb, He is our Rabb, He nourished us from the time that we were conceived, right up till now, He is nourishing us. So that Rabb, we are saying now, give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirah. Like when a father says, ask what you want. Why don't you ask Me that you want a car? So what does it mean? That the father wants to give a car. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the very fact that He is teaching us this dua, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana, it means that Allah ta'ala wants to give us dunya also, and He wants to give us akhirat also. He does not want us to be deprived in dunya. This is our biggest fear, that dunya will be taken away from us. We will lead a life of restlessness. We will be impoverished. We will miss out on all the fun and pleasure and entertainment. Once Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will come into the hearts, there will be such noor in the heart, such sukoor in the heart, that the person will find darkness in sins. He will not want to go anywhere near it. And accidentally, if he gets trapped in something that is sinful, then the restlessness that his heart will experience is like the example my Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum gives, that if you look at the compass, that if it moves away from the true north, the needle keeps on moving until you bring it back to the right direction. In the same way, this person's heart now will experience restlessness. Why did I indulge in this sin? And when he's going to make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, then he will experience that noor, that light coming on inside his heart. These are not fantasies. It is not something that is just a fairy tale. These are experiences of people. We don't have it. I am trying. You must try. Everybody must try. But it is something genuine. And when we will get that experience, then the kingdoms of the world put at our feet will mean nothing. It will mean nothing to us. If it is coming in a haram way, we will not even glance at it. Kingdoms of the world, I'm not talking about a few miserable coins. Kingdoms of the world, I gave one example, I don't know whether I gave it here or where I gave it, that we are extremely weak people. Our iman is not that strong. But the person who is a five-time namazi, tell him that now tomorrow morning, don't make your fajr salat, and I will give you 5,000 rands. Now if that person has got yaqeen in Allah Ta'ala and is a five-time namazi and he believes that namaz is farz five times a day, then he will say, you keep your 5,000, even if you give me 500,000, I don't want it, I cannot miss my fajr salat. Unless shaitan whispers into that person's ear that you can also make qaza later. Once they take the money now, make qaza later. So we're not talking about those people. I'm saying a weak person of iman like myself, with all my weakness, I can swear in this house of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that in spite of my weakness of iman, if a person has to offer me 100 billion or the entire universe and tell me that tomorrow fajr time don't make your salat, and I give you this, all the gold wells or gold mines and oil wells and everything, inshallah, with again the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, we must not think that we can do anything unless Allah Ta'ala gives us the tawfiq. But inshallah, I will tell that person that you keep everything, let me read my fajr salat. So with a weak iman, if we are prepared to do that, weak iman, then look at what about those people who have got Allah in their hearts, who have got Allah Ta'ala's noor in their hearts, tajalli in their hearts. You can put what you like at their feet, it is going to mean nothing. If it's halal, then they will accept it. If it's haram, they won't even cast a glance at it. Once Allah Ta'ala comes in the heart. Mana ke meer gulshan e jannat to dur hai. Arif hai magar dil mein khaliq e jannat liye hue. The arifs of Allah, they have got the khaliq of jannat. What is jannat? Jannat is makin. Jannat is makan. Jannat is a place where the ashiks of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will stay. But the people who are the arifs, they have got the jannat in their hearts, they've got the kingdoms of Allah Ta'ala in their hearts, and they've got Allah Ta'ala in their hearts. And this is the happiness and this is the joy that this Ahlullah they experience. Outside conditions will be normal. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was stoned, he bled, he felt the pain, he fell unconscious, his teeth were shattered. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was grieved when his child passed away. All those are normal, natural conditions. But inside the heart, that sukoon will come once we have our connection with our Allah. Once we have this connection with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Once Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will come, then he will come with his sifats. Now is this something that is difficult, or is it something that we are talking about to deprive a person of happiness, of good life, as we talk? What is good life? Is this the good life that we are experiencing in our homes at present? Is that the good life? When the person gets depressed, then watch more movies as a cure. That one person actually tells, he says, "Molna, well, what can I do when I get depressed?" Then that's the only thing I can do. Till 2 in the morning, I'm watching movies. So I said, what you are doing is you are taking more poison. Whereas if that person had to just say Allah, Allah, or he had to read some tasbih, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, then after a little while he'll get good sleep too, because shaitan doesn't want you to remain long in tasbih. He'll say, "Bhai, you rather sleep. It's cure for your depression." But when you are watching those things, he'll say, "See, one more. Another one is coming up after this." And by the morning, that person's mind is clouded, he's more restless, he's more depressed. And then he has to go for tablets. He starts taking Valium 5, and then Valium 10. And so many people end up in madhouses after that. So let us realize that we are not going to be helping anyone else but ourselves. So Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi says,
kaisa ye inqilab hai dekh ke dil kabab hai.
Like how the kebab is fried and its heart is burnt. That is what is happening to the hearts of the Ahlullah these days. How much are they going to see?
Kehte hain ab sawab hai sood mein aur qimar mein. Duniya gale ka haar hai, deen nazar mein khaar hai. Yahi agar bahar hai, aag lage bahar mein.
He says, if this is the spring of your life, then put fire to this kind of spring. That if you say that this is what you am getting enjoyment in, I'm getting enjoyment in sins, then that is not enjoyment, it is going to bring destruction. Sooner or later it's going to bring destruction. Restlessness, anxieties and worries are the immediate azab that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. It's a different thing that some people Allah ta'ala wants to prolong or delay the person's azab because he gave some charities or he made some tawbah, istighfar, he made some ibadat, some tilawat and asked Allah ta'ala for forgiveness, so again it is warded off. But if the person carries on, then one day he finds himself in deep waters and then it will be too late. So before we reach that stage, we must try and come out of it. And when we are going to come out, we will find that change in our own lives. And when it will come in our lives, then our children and our family members and others will easily take on. At present, we are not role models for anyone. We are not role models for anyone. Can anyone say to his children that, look, I am your role model, father. Whatever I do, you must look at me and follow me. Then we'll find lots of people in casinos, lots of people in frauds, lot of people in adultery, lot of people in fornication, lot of people in porn movies and porn literature. That's the kind of model we are to our children, role model. We want the whole world to change, but we don't want the world within us to change. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must bless us all with tawfiq of hidayat. He must give us the realization that in sins we will never ever find peace and happiness, and it's only in our connection with him when we are going to give up haram in our life, then just a little ibadat and a little zikr and tilawat will take us so far. It will get us connected. I mentioned in one of the majlis that this tawbah and istighfar is such a transport. such a speedy transport that the person is 1 minute on the Farsh here, and within seconds he is on the Arsh, connected with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That's all. Simple. Islam and Deen is so simple, so simple. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless me also with the tawfiq of making amal on whatever I preach. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Inshallah we will continue next week. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اے اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما اے اللہ ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہماری خطاؤں کو معاف فرما ہماری لغزشوں سے درگزر فرما او اللہ forgive our major sins and our minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of night. Forgive the sins of our eyes. Forgive the sins of our ears. Forgive the sins of our tongues. Forgive the sins of our heart and mind, our hands and feet. Ya Allah, the sins which are the huququl ibad, where we have trampled upon the rights of others, then give us the tawfiq to seek forgiveness from them or return whatever is due to them. Namaz, roza, zakat, hajj, whatever has become qaza, oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to fulfill all that qaza. Ya Allah, bless us all with long life, with good health, with prosperity, with happiness, with contentment, with satisfaction, with qanaat. Ey mere pyare khuda, haram se hamari hifazat farma. Ya Allah, haram se hum sab ki hifazat farma. Ey Allah, hame teri zat-e-ali ke saath aisa taluk naseeb farma ke nafs aur shaitan ek lamhe ke liye bhi tujhse juda na kar sake. Make us that fish that swims deep in your ocean of marifat. Give us such a connection and a bond with you, O my beloved Allah, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from you for a single moment. Fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa, with the noor of ibadat, with the noor of zikr. O my beloved Allah, come into our hearts. Ya Allah, make us yours and become ours. Those who have passed away, bless them with Jannatul Firdaus. Those who are sick and ailing, give them cure from all their ailments. Those who are in financial difficulties and problems, bless them with plentiful of halal and remove all their financial difficulties and problems. Those whose children have become disobedient, make the children obedient. Those husbands and wives who are having quarrels and arguments, oh Allah, unite their hearts. Unite the hearts of brothers and sisters. Unite the hearts of parents and children. Unite the hearts of the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمد وآله واصحابه اجمعين برحمتك